This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
So speaking of maybe things that came out the wrong way, David Montgomery was watching a video game with Chauncey Gardner, right? With the Detroit Lions.
Chauncey Gardner Johnson. Yep.
Yeah. Chauncey Gardner Johnson, the new Lions defensive back with the new Lions running back. And they were doing something on the Twitch stream, I think playing NBA 2K, I guess.
Just talking to each other. This is the world now, right? Play video games and talk, and we're going to live stream it to millions of people.
I found it very distracting, Dad. I found it very distracting because they're doing something else. But anyway, David Montgomery basically said it was nice to be appreciated by a team. Look, I think you may have been taken out of context. I don't know. All I can say is this. The Bears appreciated David Montgomery. There's no doubt in my mind. And they even would have liked to have had him back. Didn't he turn down the same similar kind of
very comparable, very comparable from multiple
guarantees?
Sources,
yeah.
From multiple sources that the Bears thought that they had presented an offer that was at least as good as the one the Lions presented. So that's one thing to debunk there. The idea that if the Bears had been the highest bidder, David Montgomery would still be here and he wouldn't be complaining. He clearly wanted a fresh start. And he's vocalizing some of the reasons why he wanted a fresh start. It's okay to push back on what he said. It's okay to say that the Bears made the right decision. But, you know, David, here, I'm going to read you the full quote that caught my ear, because there's one thing in here that was interesting to me. He said, "That's all I was used to. And it got to a point where it sucked the fun out of the game for me because I'm a competitor. I like to compete. That's what football is all about. It's so refreshing to be in a place where that's appreciated." And the thing that catches my ear there is it sucked the fun out of the game for me. And what he's talking about there is the losing and the losing and the losing. And the losing, you got to understand that David Montgomery's first game in a Bears uniform is the kickoff game of the 100th season of the NFL. And there's sky high Super Bowl expectations going into that year. And there's an electric environment at Soldier Field. And they lay an egg in that opener against the Packers. And they've really just been a mediocre to way below average team in every single season he's been in the league. And you can understand why a 14 loss year where everything spirals down the drain sucks the fun out of the game for a player like David Montgomery, who's so highly motivated and so competitively driven that losing 10 games in a row over a 2.5 month span really, really becomes frustrating. Now, look, like Detroit isn't the place where you usually say, yeah, I want to go to a place that's a perennial winner. You know, they weren't very good when David Montgomery entered the league, and now they're on an upswing, and he's going to have to prove that what he said actually has merit in Detroit. I think a lot of the league thinks that Detroit is a team on the rise, but they got to prove it still after what they did last year. But I'm just curious what you take out of that whole suck the fun out of the game for me note, because that was the part that caught my ear, because to me it's kind of the residual effect of all that losing by design, or what you've called it, something else, failure by strategy,
disaster by design.
Yeah. You know, that comes with ripple effects. And this is one of them.
This is one of them. And this is what, you know, players, professional athletes always have to find, you know, the edge, the motivation, however they can. And I think what David Montgomery sounds like is doing is he is looking at his time in Chicago, especially his last season, as the time that, just he hit rock bottom emotionally, and this is time to start on the trek back to wherever he's headed as a professional. And he can look at that, and there are reasons why, and he can blame whoever he wants to blame. But I don't know that it does anything more than, you know, motivate him. I don't think it puts a bigger target on his back for the Bears when they play him. I don't think it makes him harder to tackle. I don't think it makes much of a difference at all. It's probably something that I would, you know, again, it's easy to say. I'd have the presence of mind not to make this a public thing because the Bears drafted me and they were very good to me while I was in Chicago. That's probably the way I would want him to approach it. But you have to understand that that's not always the case. And we don't know what the nature of negotiations were. We all have sources that say David Montgomery was offered a very fair similar, comparable contract to stay in Chicago and chose to go to Detroit. Maybe he had had enough and maybe he saw the writing on the wall. But however he needs to motivate himself, I think this falls under that category of self-motivation.
Yeah, and the conclusion is that the Bears have a homegrown leader that chose to be somewhere else. And you say, okay, just take note of that inside the building. Like, how do we keep these guys wanting to be part of our program going forward? Success is obviously a huge part of that. I also understand the pushback. I heard from people in the building that said, listen, like, David was part of their leadership group. If he wanted to change the mentality and the approach to things, he had a voice in that locker room. He had control to create a tone in there. And that David is well known inside the building at House Hall as being not only a fiery competitor, but occasionally very moody, you know, and moodiness creates some emotions that maybe lead to frustration. I wish him well in his next stop. I think he'll do well there. I think the Lions are willing to welcome him there. I think the Bears wish him well. There doesn't need to be any sort of bad blood, but I do think it is notable that, you know, that this is at least some shred of evidence that the disaster by design comes with some things that you probably didn't intend.
Yeah, unintended consequences. I'm sure that falls under that category. Last thing on this is that when you talk about creating that culture that we always reference when you're talking about Brian Poles and Matt Eberflus, they pride themselves in being the same guys every day. They pride their structure and their practices and their game weeks as being the same thing every time. To really build a culture that you're proud of and that is consistent with what you espouse, you've got to have players who are the same guys every day. Now, as much as respect as we have for David Montgomery and all the things that you heard while he was here, which remain true, he's a tough guy and all those things. What you said about his moodiness, what he said about maybe being up and down, understandable given the circumstances of all the losing, but you wonder if he was a guy that they felt like was ideally equipped to handle everything that came with the rebuild. And maybe not. Look, it doesn't take – you look at what David Montgomery is saying on the way out, and you look at what they're saying about Roschon Johnson on the way in. And that's their trains are passing in the night,
yep.
But it's not accidental there.
Well, that was the other thing I was going to say to punctuate things is that this position in this league is the cruelest position there is because it's such a give us your all and we're going to kick you to the side as soon as your gas tank goes below a quarter of a tank. And so that creates a level of pressure and expectation and emotion on running backs in this league that's hard to deal with, particularly when you're on a team that's losing and losing and losing and losing and losing and losing. And so, look, that's all part of it, and we'll see what David does in a very interesting backfield situation in Detroit now. We'll see how they kind of balance him and Jahmyr Gibbs and how his role shapes up there in what is obviously a very, very pivotal year in that organization, which they are the team, David, that everyone thinks is going to take the North in 2023, and David will have a say in that. And if he achieves that, I'm sure he'll be a lot happier and the fun will be sucked right back into his life at that point.
It'll be infused. Okay, last couple of things before we get out of here. DeAndre Hopkins was released by the Cardinals. That's a big number. They have made themselves, I think, the tanking capital of America, pro sports America, with Chicago for the last year. I think that Glendale, Arizona is now making its bid because the Cardinals have to be tanking if they're making these kind of decisions. They're going to be really bad, and DeAndre Hopkins won't be there. Where does he land, Dan? I think the Patriots make a lot of sense. I don't think the Bears are even need to make a phone call because of the price and what they already have at the position. But I just wonder what your thoughts are on DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think Buffalo and Kansas City are among the odds-on favorites. The Bears, I think, were 14th in the points bet odds to land DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh, I mean, Patriots.
That's on radar as well. I mean, he's in his 30s. You know, this is not – we've talked going into free agency that the Bears were not in splurge and surge mode at this time, and so they're not going to go break the bank for a 2023 edition, particularly after they traded for DJ Moore, particularly after they traded for Chase Claypool, particularly after they're trying to get a full evaluation of Darnell Mooney in a contract year. Their receiving core is pretty much solidified, and they're ready to get to the starting gate with that group as they try to address other areas. It's not, you know, DeAndre Hopkins also has a choice, and the idea of him having suitors that are in position to win this year is pretty realistic, you know? And so you're going to try to create multiple bidders, and you're going to find one that gives you a really good deal. And you're going to find one that's positioned to allow you to play deep into January potentially. And so the Bears don't really figure into this equation. It's always a nice thing to do when a big name guy becomes available, is assess what his fit is here. But I don't think anyone in the league thinks that there's much of a chance of a union there.
I don't think he lands in Vegas either, but it's certainly interesting with the Raiders, unrelated to the Bears, but a local guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, looks like he could be having some issues with his foot. It looks like he could be having some issues with getting on the field, and could he be having some issues with a contract that includes now, according to Pro Football Talk and Mike Florio, a waiver that if he doesn't pass a physical, they can get out of that deal. That's a very big story around the league this week.
Interesting contract structure, reading about that, in that essentially it's my understanding he's got to play a game before his deal becomes guaranteed, you know? And so they've got this out that doesn't typically exist in these contracts. And along with that, there's an acknowledgement that he failed his physical when they signed him. And it was essentially, man, this foot, whatever bone is broken there in his left foot, has a chance to get worse as he continues to play football. And if he can't get himself in a healthy place there, there's an easy exit for the Raiders. But man, I'm guessing they don't want to take that exit, because then where does that leave them after making an addition and trying to figure out what Jimmy Garoppolo could do to revitalize their hopes?
It leaves them with Josh McDaniels calling plays for Tom Brady again, potentially.
But part owner Tom Brady would have to get a whole bunch of people to sign off on him, you know, coming back to play. And the confusion and the drama of it all is too much. But certainly worth keeping an eye on. And it was certainly a unique nugget there that Mike Florio dug up.
All right, last thing about the Bears in terms of the news this week. On Tuesday morning, outside Arlington Park in Arlington Heights, you know where that is.
I do.
Demolition equipment and crews were stationed outside the shuttered racetrack early in the morning, set to begin the first phase of tearing down the historic venue. That, according to the Arlington Heights Daily Herald, it's coming, Dan. It's history going down, and for a lot of people, it will mark a very sad day, a lot of bittersweet emotions. For others, they'll look at progress and think, oh, wow, in 5 years from now, could this be the site of the Bears' George S. Halas Bear Dome?
It's both for me. There's no question it's both for me. And honestly, David, when I'm at barbecues nowadays, the two questions you get about the Bears are about what is Justin Fields going to do in 2023, and when is the stadium going to open in Arlington Heights? Those are the two things people want to talk about. And there's a level of intrigue and excitement about the potential palace and accompanying entertainment district that could go on that property that you just described, that has people really, really excited about what the Bears in the suburbs could look like. For me, I spent a lot of days in my childhood with my family going out to the racetrack and having great times betting the ponies at Arlington Racetrack. And so to see those grandstands come down, to drive past that property and realize that that's just a nostalgic, you know, sepia toned memory at this point, there's a nostalgic part that hurts. But I'm telling you that when you think about the possibility of what can be on those grounds, as you said, 5 years from now, it's incredibly exciting for where this franchise can head. There's a lot of steps along the way and a lot of hurdles that the Bears are going to have to get around. But man, it's everything to this point, you know, from 2 years ago until now, is progressing the way that we kind of anticipated it would. And it's pushing towards the Bears being the Arlington Heights Bears, and us eventually getting a whole bunch of renderings that we're going to be talking about in this program, going, holy cow, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see this special feature? Did you see the Bears Hall of Fame and Museum? The potential on that land, David, is so grand that it's hard not to be excited, even as you feel a little bit sad for all those memories that are going right into the horse poop